how to make this like mental shift from an academic researcher or a learning scientist to thinking like a learning engineer.
Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. My hope is to share with you not only valuable insights and knowledge from leaders in education, but have fun while doing it and shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Have you ever thought about how you were able to think different thoughts and how your brain works? Well, beginning from childhood, this week's guest loved to think about how people think. Dr. Eva Dundas and I sat down to chat about how a doctor of developmental and cognitive psychology ended up as a chief product officer for an edtech company. We dive into how she went from an academic research scientist to seeking a role to apply her knowledge and see her research in action. I was most excited to talk with her about why learning science isn't what some may believe it to be, and why teachers should really be called learning engineers. Here's my conversation with Dr. Eva Dundas.
We're excited to welcome Dr. Eva Dundas as the Chief Product Officer of Branching Minds. And so we're just excited to have you here to talk a little bit about your Branching Minds origin story and what you do and the exciting things that you are hoping for in the next year of Branching Minds.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So just starting out, I would love to hear a little bit about how you joined forces with Maya and David in this journey of this company and just a little bit about your background and how you led up to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was one of the early members who started, I don't know if Maya talked to you about our TechStars phase, but when we really started building out kind of the prototype of the platform. So my background is I'm a developmental cognitive psychologist. So I come from the research world. I had been really on a academic research track really since I started undergrad. I thought, you know, my life's journey was going to be to understand how children are learning, how children are thinking, but really apply that in like the university context around doing research and being a, you know, a faculty member and professor and kind of contributing in that way. And so I got involved in research really, really early. I started, you know, working in research labs, looking at kids who were at risk for developing autism and different cognitive factors that might be at play. Then I, you know, finished that work and decided to, I really wanted a bit more experience in what learning and development looks like in an education setting. And so I went and got my master's in mind brain education, which is really about thinking about how we can take what we know about learning sciences and cognitive development and research and how to apply that to education. And so it was really this kind of meant to be like a translational program, like the problems of, you know, research to practice is just like this translation issue. And so how do we get these people talking to each other? Which I learned a lot of valuable things in that program and really kind of got my taste for K-12 education, but also realized that wasn't sure that translating these issues was kind of really, really what the big barrier was. And so I went back into kind of the academic route and got my PhD in developmental cognitive psychology, focused on how children are learning how to read, how the brain is developing when they're learning how to read, what's going wrong when they're having problems learning how to read, kind of really with that focus. And I also started getting that kind of itch of feeling like I want this to be more connected to actual education and feel like it's going somewhere. And
what drove you to want to learn about children? Was there something that, like, how do you end up, what was it, master's in mind and brain?
Brain education.
And brain education.
Yeah. My interest in it really started when I was a child, really. I was always fascinated in how I could think and how I could think thoughts that were different than other kids, and how just like really kind of like, you know, as I was coming to adolescence, it was really a thing that I was kind of like just endlessly fascinated, like what's inside my head and how do I have these beliefs that are different than others, and how can I learn things in different ways that other kids are learning things. And I just really wanted to know just like, how does the inside of my head work? So really, I my mom makes this joke where she would say that like I was a child philosopher, because she would find me just like sitting by myself, and she would like ask me what I was doing, and I'd say, I'm thinking about my thinking. I was like, really, I was a weird kid. I was really sitting, like, thinking about how I could think. So,
oh my gosh, that's like, I mean, if I heard a kid say that, I would be like, I am going to be amazed at what you will become, you
know, or terrified of them,
or either one. Yeah,
yeah, it worked out. I'm still a weird kid, but I harnessed it in good ways, I guess. So I think once I got to college, that interest, I think I really realized it was, oh, it's cognitive psychology. That's what I'm interested in.
So you went and got your doctorate, and wanting to look, I hear what you're saying is something like you wanted to see the practice of some of these ideas and research that you were doing, and seeing, well, how that like played out in real life. So that's where you're at. You got your doctorate. And
so I was still at Carnegie Mellon, where I did my PhD, and Maya and David had just gotten funding for the TechStars Accelerator program, which was to really kind of build out the prototype of, you know, this concept that she had. And so she had reached out to Carnegie Mellon and specifically was like, I need a developmental cognitive psychologist, especially one who's focused in early literacy, because that's what where she wanted to start with the product. And so that somehow got to the department chair, and he's like, I don't know what a startup is, but I think this person's looking for you. And so I got connected with her. I actually called her. I think, you know, she had just had her second baby. She was a little bit crazy. I had, you know, was on the way to a beach, and I think we just had a conversation over the phone, and she's like, do you think this is something you can help out with? And I was like, sure, I'll do this for 3 months. And so just joined with TechStars, kind of, you know, anticipating it was maybe just like a potential 3 months time frame of a project I could help out with.
I love that you said this person's looking for you, and realize, you know, I'm a believer in, you know, kind of divine appointment or divine intervention, like of the sense that like it comes together at the right time.
Yeah, it really was weird about how what I was looking for and kind of the background of a person she was looking for, and then somehow got to the right people to actually make that connection.
So in the beginning, like what drew you like to stay on after that 3 months? I'm sure there's lots of other sort of steps in the story, but what drew you to be a part of Branching Minds' mission and vision in the beginning?
It was really exciting to kind of help build out this concept of what we thought that this could be, and really understand the scope of impact that it could have. You know, Maya came into this, you know, as a classroom teacher, really struggling with this problem that she had. And as we started kind of really diving into that problem and thinking about solutions for that problem, it really became visible about how much bigger impact a solution could have around system level change in supporting students. And so I got really excited we were really fortunate to be connected with one of our advisors is Bror Saxberg, who used to be the chief learning officer at Kaplan. And he really introduced me to how to make this like mental shift from an academic researcher or a learning scientist to thinking like a learning engineer, as like someone who's really building solutions. So like diving into these problems that are happening in the school district and really pulling in what we know from the research to build out solutions. And so working with Maya and really trying to understand these problems that she was experiencing and being able to think about it in a new way, like from this kind of engineering perspective, that got me really excited about the potential that we could build if, you know, we could continue to keep going past the 3 month period, which we were fortunate to be able to do. So we started, you know, we got, you know, for better or worse, we started being able to work in school districts really, really early, like really with a basic, almost non-functional prototype of the product. But what that helped us do is actually get into schools with these you know, educators and sit there in these meetings as they were, you know, struggling through these same problems that Maya had experienced. And so being able to gain from their insight as we're building out the product and iterating on it just became like a really, I don't want to say addicting, but it became just like really intensely involved in wanting to figure out how to make this better for people. Because these are people who you could so clearly see that they cared so much about what they were doing and they're having such a hard time doing it. And all they wanted to do is just help the kids in front of them. And so seeing the passion that they had and the pain that they had in not being able to do it, I think became incredibly motivating to stick it out with them.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, as a teacher, a former teacher, I can identify with that, where it becomes, you know, to take a student from not knowing something to knowing how to do something is a very, like you get so involved and you're kind of attached to that outcome. And for better or worse, you know, I think it is. But I think that having that hands-on experience and seeing how the product would work and how this, you know, how to go about a solution is really key. I think, and knowing what I know about branching minds, like that is essential in keeping the product teacher focused and keeping, you know, at the core of what we do to really help teachers. And I think that is, if that's the center of what we do and drive everything we do, I think it leads to a better solution in the end.
And no matter, you know, what scale we are at, you know, and we're working, you know, not just with classroom teachers, but, you know, school administrators, district administrators, it is still critically important for us to be engaged with all of those folks at every level of the organization to make sure we're understanding what their problems are. And you know, those problems aren't stagnant, they're evolving, and our product is evolving, and make sure that we're evolving in that direction together is really important. And so, while I might not be sitting in a New Jersey classroom at 7 in the morning, it's still finding ways for us, you know, on the product team and everyone to continually having these conversations with folks is really, really important for the product.
So, okay, speaking of product, for those that don't know what a chief product officer does, what does a chief product officer do?
Well, that role for me and in any startup has definitely evolved over the years. But really at a high level, chief product officer is really responsible for making sure our strategy and movement in the product space, kind of what our offering is aligned with the company's vision. So are we continuing to build something that is aligned with what we've set out as our vision for achieving the Branching Minds mission? So understanding, are we streamlining MTSS? Are we saving teachers' time? Are we improving student outcomes, you know, academically and social, emotionally and behaviorally? Are we closing achievement gaps? You know, are we continuing to make sure that the product is focused on doing all those things to get us to, you know, where we want to be as a company?
Something you said earlier, and you talked about being a learning engineer. Do you find yourself still having, like, still maintaining that mindset, even though maybe your responsibilities and where the product's at is very different?
Oh, absolutely.
Now versus beginning. Yeah.
It's absolutely. And I feel like everyone on, you know, our engineering team, our product teams, and our learning science team, really all collectively, are trying to think as learning engineers. And it's also, you know, how we try to get the entire company to think about in terms of how we're having conversations with our partners. Because really it is, it's best practice product development with a spin of best practices in learning science and education. And so when we're trying to talk to our customers and work with them and trying to understand what they're doing, it's always trying to get to the root cause of the problem. So, you know, you're taking that engineering framework of like, what is the root problem here? And then figuring out, okay, how do we fix this together with what we know is going to make this the best solution in terms of education outcomes? And so I think it's a mindset that we try to work in across the entire company of really trying to be, you know, data-driven problem solvers with our district partners, instead of just being a service provider company that has created an offering and just pushes it out into schools.
Well, because then we're truly partners with the schools, right? Like, I used to say that to parents all the time, where like, hey, we're partners in this. You know, we're partners in how we, you know, help solve the problem for the student. And when you're a partner, you like work together and not just like, here's my solution. You can solve, you know, use it to solve.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's more of like the hands-off approach. So,
and I think it's really helped us build, helped build healthy relationships with our district partners, but also a better product. Like, truly, it is, I think, the way to make the best product is to work collaboratively with the people who are using it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that that also helps in the end provide a better solution, because you're hearing that real-time feedback and you're in the schools. So switching gears here a little bit, so you started out as like a learning scientist, a research scientist. And you probably still do a lot of research and learning about learning in general. And why do you think that learning science, because I think learning science isn't something as a teacher I really thought about a lot. Maybe in, you know, some, you know, like in the background of my mind, unconsciously. But like, why do you think learning science is so important for the work of educators?
Science of learning is really our understanding about how to best support learning. And so information that we know about what's just going to be the most effective way to approach this, you know, topic area or this skill area or just learning in general. And so helping teachers be empowered to understand what's the most effective way to achieve what they're actually trying to achieve with their students. Is super, super critical. But it's tricky about how to get that knowledge out into classrooms, because it's not always within teachers' control. You know, a lot of these decisions around, you know, curriculum that's being taught or interventions that are being purchased are, you know, at that district level. And so there can be a missing piece between helping teachers understand what they're using and what parts of it is really grounded in learning science, and how to amplify what components of that is really embedded in learning science. And so I think there's a lot of push, especially in the reading space right now, to get, you know, the science of reading practices into the hands of teachers and, you know, PD pushes, there's letters training, which I think is super awesome. And a lot of states are trying to get that in front of teachers.
I guess I was curious because like in the classroom as a teacher, I wouldn't have ever thought of myself as a science, you know, someone, a scientist or a researcher, but I think that there is an element that that's important for teachers to be that too. I made a mental note that I think that teachers should be called learning engineers. Like,
yeah,
I think that's a new, that's a new title. I'm going to change that on my resume. Like
That's exactly how teachers should be thinking about it.
Well, because so much of what a teacher does, an educator, and I say this as administrators, instructional leaders, they really are trying to engineer solutions to help students succeed. Right. And so, so much of what schools are doing, like, it's not just about teaching, right? It's not just like imparting knowledge, but it's about making the knowledge accessible for students, knowledge and skills, really.
Yeah.
Right. The skills accessible to those students. And so like, that's being an engineer, like you have to kind of figure the best, you know, cause I used to think, oh, well, I'm a problem solver. I'm solving the problem of this kid. Right. But it's more of I'm engineering it so that that skill and information is in front of them and they can, you know,
that is so true. I think that that is really an appropriate term for anyone at any level of involvement in education. And I think what's helpful for teachers is making sure that they have the resources and understanding of that learning science. So when they're doing that solution and problem solving, they know where to pull from. And so like giving them access to those evidence-based teaching strategies, providing them with what we know is going to work instead of having to like, you know, flounder with a, you know, down a Pinterest rabbit hole and, or, or teachers pay teachers.
Yeah. Well, but that honestly, that was a conversation with a group of instructional coaches. We were frustrated because there were teachers pulling lessons from teachers pay teachers without investigating, you know, whether they were evidence-based or whether they were a good lesson. And, you know, and I'm thinking about that teacher may have just going, I have to have a lesson for tomorrow. I need to have something.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that there is that part where it's not necessarily all on them. It's like, are we helping, are we creating, providing that curriculum to teachers that we know is evidence-based and we make it accessible to them? And so in a way, like instructional leaders and administrators and the people making those decisions need to do some of that work too, to help make that accessible for those teachers.
They're working with what's in front of them. That was the original problem. Working with Maya and trying to solve is trying to help what's an effective way to connect teachers to the right resources. Because it is, you know, it's an endless rabbit hole going down, you know, things like Pinterest and teachers pay teachers. And it's not to say that everything on there is not helpful, but it's not curated in a way that's going to get you to what you need in an efficient way. And so how do we really surface what is the good stuff and what is the right stuff to do for a particular student, I think was one of the original problems we were trying to solve with Branching Minds.
What do you think is misunderstood about learning science within education? What do you think is misunderstood about that?
Some things that I've been hearing is that it is cold and meant to take the joy out of learning, which I think is maybe just a word association that people think of science. But absolutely not. I mean, if anything, we know from the science of learning is that your curriculum needs to be engaging and needs to be holistic and it needs to incorporate the whole child. And so I think that maybe just be a misinterpretation of the word science, but, you know, things like the science of reading and structured literacy, while there may be certain components of it that are meant to be rigid in how they should be taught, that delivery of it doesn't need to be cold or rigid. You know, it still can be a welcoming way to teach the curriculum. So I think that that's one of the misconceptions. I don't know. Are there others that you hear?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. Cause like, I think about it, the art of teaching, right?
Yeah.
The idea that like a really engaging teacher doesn't follow the lessons, right? Like, or, you know, that they break all the rules. Like there's things where like learning science, that portion of it often isn't, I would say it's not as attractive maybe, or sexy as the art of teaching. I don't know if they have a movie about learning science, right? It's more.
Yeah. I think the intuition and human factor is never going to be removed from good teaching. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the science of learning approach is supposed to be either. It's about understanding and incorporating what are these best practices that we know are critical for different areas, and then using your human on top of that, you know?
Oh, right. Well, it's one of those things where like, that's the reason, you know, as a middle school teacher, so much of what I did was like lean on my art of teaching to make teaching grammar or five paragraph essay or whatever, like make it engaging in some way, because it's like, this is what I have to teach, but you kind of have to wrap it up in a pretty package. And it's hard because I think it goes against that, you know, when people have a love of teaching and a love of kids, there tends to be, well, I want to do the fun things. So I think that that's a very key misunderstanding in learning science.
Yeah.
I also think that there, and this probably has to do with more the nature of our educational system in general, but like, I think learning science, because there has not been an emphasis or on that word, I think there can be a sense that like teaching isn't that hard, or teaching isn't as difficult as a different kind of career. And so I think there is that idea of like, if we were titled learning engineers, maybe teachers would be paid more.
Oh my gosh. I'm so there for it. That's our new mission. We are rebranding the teaching as,
isn't there like a bill,
learning engineers?
Like somebody's proposing some kind of like bill or something in Congress about paying teachers more. And I just want to be like, let's look at the language we're using here.
Yeah. Yeah.
New titles.
Introduce a new profession of learning engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that kind of vein, like what for you as a learning scientist or as a research scientist, what's a current problem or issue that's really catching your interest that you just are kind of like eager to learn more about and dig more into?
What's catching my interest really is how we're going to address kind of this literacy loss in these kids who were out of school in these really foundational years of learning how to read. That just keeps circulating as like, this is going to be this real big mounting problem, and how we figure out how we are able to address that. That's keeping me up at night. I feel like your question was much more like, what are you excited about?
I mean, it could be both. I think it's like current problem or issue. And I ask that question because like, there are things that like, I will fall down a rabbit hole reading about and like learning about as far as research goes, because I think it's fascinating to see, you know, learn about, especially, and I think the science of reading and kind of ties into that literacy thing. And it's very interesting.
Yeah. Where I'm on an excited rabbit hole, which is a lot of kind of the work that we're doing with Branching Minds, is thinking about how MTSS can move into more of this kind of integrated systems of support framework across, you know, really, you know, diving across all student needs across academics, social, emotional, behavioral, mental health, which in like this wellness space. And so schools are really starting to think about, we've got a big problem around all of the different needs that students are experiencing right now. And how do we develop systems that incorporate kind of just a broader understanding of what needs to be done to support students. And so there's a lot of exciting stuff coming out, a lot of cool, interesting partnership opportunities with other providers and organizations that I think could be exciting for Branching Minds. So that's something I'm pretty excited about. This it's a challenge, and we're at this place because schools are in such a dire need for this right now. But I think there's exciting opportunities for that work to get really enhanced for students and schools.
Yeah. And I think that there's such a, like you said, there's such a room for growth for many schools in that way of how do we address all these needs? And it's a really overwhelming thing. As being in the classroom in the last few years, it's very overwhelming to think about how we can help students. So I think on a bigger level, it's like, where can we fit in and how can we help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's exciting too is really the acknowledgement of that this is a system and this is something that, you know, leadership heavily needs to be supporting of, and that this is not just something that should all fall on teachers. Like all of these needs are not within the scope of what a classroom teacher should be expected to support students on. And so really thinking about how we build up these system levels in a school or in a district so that everyone feels supported in how they're approaching this work.
I think that's really important. I've been writing up some stuff about teacher burnout and thinking about what does it look like at the system level to help support teachers? Like, what are the things that need to happen? What are choices, decisions that leaders could make that alleviate this mass exodus of teachers? Like, the way we can just make it a little bit better. Cause, you know, I think that often teachers are like, this thing would change or this thing would change. If I'd feel a little more supported, maybe that would, you know.
Yeah, or at least not making them feel like they're the ones expected to be responsible for all of these things. You know, there's a lot going on, and making sure that schools are staffing properly and they have the systems and structures and supports in place to be able to take a lot of that off the teacher.
Yeah.
So they can get back to learning engineering.
Yeah. Eva, I appreciate everything that you talked about. And I love hearing your perspective as far as from the research scientist point of view and just your background. It's very helpful. Like, there's times where I'm like, man, I would love to learn this as a teacher. And I'm hoping that we can encourage, those that listen and administrators and school leaders and even educators that just in the job of being a learning engineer and how we're here to help. And I also love hearing how you ended up with Branching Minds. I know there's so much more to the story. There's many podcasts
about off podcast drinks.
Yeah, exactly. So the way that we kind of wrap up every episode is because we're all learning engineers in some way around here. What is your favorite school supply?
Post-it notes. Yeah. Endless potential with post-it notes.
Potential with post-it notes. I have a fun fact, and this is based in the research I've done in the last, I don't know how many episodes, 3 out of 5 educators so far have said that post-it notes have been their favorite. So you're in the majority right now.
They bring me quite joy. I gave myself a little stocking stuffer for Christmas, which was like really pretty decorative post-it notes with like little sparkles in the corners and like different colors.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation. And
yeah,
thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchyminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at branchyminds.